The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, we gotta go prepare. You know, we gotta go prepare. Obviously, played these guys earlier in the season. They gave us all we could handle, so it's gonna be a big challenge for us. We're gonna be at their place. It's a tough place to play. We're gonna have to go handle our business and play a really solid football game and playoff football for the most part, man. You play two good teams, go at it, and a lot of times it comes down to something late, and hopefully we can be on the right side of things.
The voice of Matthew Stafford after the Rams take apart the Vikings last night. Welcome back to Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. All right, back to your phone calls here on Jalen Hurts. So you're giving him a mulligan for the way he played on Sunday against the Packers. But Hugh, it is set, the matchup Eagles-Rams, 3 o'clock Sunday at the Link, a rematch of a game that we saw in Los Angeles in late November. Hugh, first, when you realized last night, it was pretty quick early in the game, you realized the Rams were going to win that thing. What's your first thought on this game?
The second matchup of teams that we played in the second round. I was like, You know that, and then I started thinking about how would you attack this? And how I felt about that. A little nervous, but at the same time, I started workshopping it and thinking, I don't think they have enough to beat the Eagles. They don't. But they're going to make the game interesting because now they know how the Eagles are going to attack them. Up front, on their defensive side of the ball, they're kind of small. And the Eagles took full advantage of that. And, we had a chance to talk to Jordan Mailata, and he talked about, that matchup that he had against Jared Verse.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny? I thought about that because Jared Verse is going to be trying to get some get back. That was one of the teams that I didn't think was going to be in the playoffs. But Jared Verse might be looking at that film and saying, yeah, he get another shot at Jordan because Jordan kind of little boyed him the last time. So that's to me, is going to be a matchup that I'm going to watch. Cooper Kupp really wasn't a big factor in the game last night. Who was it? Tyler Higbee was the leading receiver that on the team last mm-hmm. night.
He got hurt.
He got hurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was
the leading receiver. Puka Nacua is still there. So they're going to try to hope if he's not playing, that kind of changes the dynamic of the game. But the thing that stood out to me is that Matt Stafford's probably going to come in here and try to do what he did to Minnesota, and that's distribute the ball. He gave the ball, at least one guy caught the ball at least one to five or six different receivers. So that's what kind of struck me. But at the end of the day, you got a week, you got a day less of rest. It's going to be cold. You're not at home. I can't see the Rams coming in here beating the Eagles. I can see them coming in here putting up a really good fight. But, man, game's at 3 o'clock. When that temperature change kick in, yeah, it's gonna be different.
So I don't see them winning. My first thought was, and I do feel the Eagles should win this game. It's going to be harder than the Packers game. I know the resume is going to tell you it shouldn't, that the Rams are worse than the Packers in terms of their record, in terms of their point differential. I think this is going to be harder. I respect McVay, and I don't think Stafford's going to fall apart the way Love did. So I think this is going to be harder for the Eagles. Now, I also can't get out of my head that the last time we saw this matchup, the Eagles destroyed them.
Destroyed them.
I mean, that was the Saquon game that put him on the MVP map. I mean, he went out there and had, I mean, he ran for 200-something yards. He was amazing in that football game, 300 total yards in terms of catching the ball, too. I thought Jalen played well that night, too, out in Los Angeles. So we saw this matchup once, and the Eagles beat them. I think I've said this on this show. I can't get a grasp on the Rams. They have a weird season. They started 1-4, then they got hot, then they fell apart a little bit, then they got hot again. The Rams have weeks where they look really, really good, like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They also have weeks where they don't score much. They won a few games in December. They scored like 12, 13 points. They had a negative point differential for the season. I struggle to figure out week to week what they are. Here's what I think about the Rams. If the Eagles let them hang around, they scare the heck out of me because of Stafford and McVay.
Yeah.
But there's also a path here for the Eagles if they play good football and they protect the ball and Jalen makes some plays and they get their offensive line going downhill. They could run them out of the building the way they did to them out in Los Angeles. My first thought, though, it's going to be more challenging. Like that's than last week. I think it's going to be a closer game and a more nail-biting game than we had. I felt good on Friday. I thought the Eagles would blow the Packers out. I don't have that same sense on this Tuesday that we have another blowout coming. Kyle, first thought as the Rams come in.
I don't know if I necessarily agree that I know for sure it's going to be harder than Green Bay. The Rams don't have nearly as good of a defense as the Packers. I think the Packers came in with, like, what, the fifth overall defense?
But doesn't
in the NFL?
It feel like the Packers were limping a little bit? The Rams looked good last
they
night.
They were, but they played good defense in that game.
Oh, yeah,
they
Packers
played
did.
Very yep. well defensively, yep. and they had a good game plan for Jalen Hurts. I don't know if the Rams have the horses, like, back there to be able to do that. And I don't expect them to do anywhere close to what they did to the Vikings O-line against ours. Usually if you tell me that, you know, one of the biggest threats on an opposing defense is one of their edge rushers, I don't worry about that. I don't sweat that. We have Mailata and Lane Johnson, two of the best tackles in football. And I mean, while their offense looked good last night, again, that was more of an anomaly than the norm for the Rams. It was the third time all season that they put up 30 points. And I don't see that happening against the Eagles defense. And I mean, you know, if the betting odds tell you anything, the Packers were -3.5. The Rams are like going to be -6, -6.5. So
it was 5.5 this morning. It's probably going to land in
so
six.
So odds makers
range.
Think that this is an easier task for the Eagles than the Packers.
I disagree with
was.
The odds makers.
Right, is he going to do the official Joe Giglio spread before the game?
Oh, yeah, it's 3.5. That's my
really?
Number. Yeah, I think this is close.
I don't know about that.
All right, let's hear from Brandon Graham. So it's interesting. BG talking here about, you know, obviously knowing now it's going to be the Rams, but listen to Brandon Graham's thought on Vikings, Rams, maybe who the Eagles would have preferred in this matchup.
Did you have a preference last night between the Rams and the Vikings?
You know what? It's hard to play a team twice. The Vikings for sure was a team that you probably wanted to play too, but you know, it didn't matter for real. It mm-hmm. really didn't matter because I know the energy of the game that's going to be on Sunday, man, it's going to be electric for both teams. We just got to make sure we capture that momentum.
Hugh, you spoke on that before we knew, yesterday you said it, right before the game even happened, that the difficulty of playing a team a second time, why is it so hard?
Because it's the game plan that you use to defeat them. You kind of want to have that similar game plan, but they already kind of know how you're going to attack them. You know, so like I said, I think that the Rams are going to come in, they're going to be more creative against trying to stop the run. But I think the thing that's going to hurt them is that I don't think that they have the personnel, the right personnel up front, that they can sustain that for four quarters.
Right.
You know, and then you're coming into a hostile environment. The weather change is going to be a factor. The thing that I think is going to be in our favor, this might be close in the first half. I would say this might be a little bit of a nail biter until halftime. Then when the sun goes down a little bit and the reality kicks in of how cold it is, you know, you got them cold ass shoulder pads on. They're warm in the first half because you're all lathered up and you're excited. The adrenaline's going. You go in at halftime, you make them adjustments, and you walk out. And if it's raining or it's cold, that cold air smacks that ass a couple times.
That's different than showing your whole ass.
It's different. Yeah, man.
Who's going to show their ass on Sunday? Saquon?
I think.
Jalen?
I feel, just at first blush, early in the week, this offensive line was dominant. That's something that you can't – that's a given. Regardless of scheme, anything, that's just a man whoop a man. I think that it might be close in the first half, but as we progress through the game, I think the Eagles are going to pop. I think Saquon has a big day Sunday.
So that was the first game.
Sunday.
Still a short week for the Rams, though.
It is. Yeah. Well, so one thing. So the first game was, what, 10-10 and a half or 14-10? Yeah, it was close.
Yeah.
And then
we ended up pulling away big time.
And I think people need to realize in the playoffs, for the most part, they're not going to always be – it's not going to be decided before the half.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs.
But saying, it's not like you're playing a bad team in the regular season.
You know what I mean? It's the playoffs. It's not going to be decided before the half.
And by the way, sorry, I said that was the third time the Rams scored 30 points. They didn't even score 30 points against the Vikings. It just felt that way because they kicked their – they only scored 30 points twice this whole year.
Yeah, I mean, their resume isn't very good. Historically, teams that have a negative point differential don't make it this far and certainly don't get past this round. I mean, this – on paper – like, remember last week on paper, the Packers looked scary, and then they actually weren't that scary. This Ram team doesn't look that scary on paper, yet I think there's something to them that makes this a challenging game. On Friday, I think we have to put up the poll who's going to show their whole ass on Sunday and just see what people say on that.
Just an open-ended?
Open-ended. Yep. Who's going to show their whole ass on Sunday in this game?
Is it possible that last night was less of good Rams and more of just, like, dead team walking Vikings?
It might have been. Well, I mean, that was the Vikings. Yes, they just played the Lions the week before.
I think the Lions might have taken their soul.
Yeah, maybe. Well, so here's one other aspect of this. And before we talk about it, I want to be empathetic, Hugh. Obviously, there's bigger things going on than football for the players in Los Angeles. But, Hugh, I wonder how much last night they had adrenaline for the city of Los Angeles, for the surrounding area, what's going on.
Yeah.
Because so the whole pregame stuff was about they were honoring the people and obviously all the devastation in Southern California. It felt to me like they had like a little extra pep in their step, the Rams, to do it for the Southern California. I do wonder, can they carry that adrenaline over? Or now they, because it's weird, they showed the graphic on the game last night. They left Los Angeles on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They flew to, including their families, they brought everyone to Arizona to kind of set up shop there for a few days, played a game. Now I guess they're going to go back home and try to prepare and then get back on another flight. It's a tough thing for them. It's like a lot going on.
Are they going back home? Is that been confirmed?
I'm guessing. I don't know. I mean, maybe they stay in Arizona the whole week.
They probably will, because I would probably think, if I'm Coach McVay, to go back home. I don't know where they all live, but I'm pretty sure somebody has been directly affected by what's going on out there. That's a lot to try to compartmentalize and get ready to play a game. So I would assume that you probably stay as close to the East Coast as you possibly can instead of flying back and then. Think about that trip. Like, you're jumping on a plane. You're loading everybody up, families and all, jumping on a plane, flying back to L.A. to stay for a couple of days and then have to jump back on another plane instead of just probably staying there making it, you know, taking your mind off of what's potentially going on in your neighborhood and turn it into a mini vacation. I'm pretty sure there's some small kids running around. Try to make it as less stressful as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So I would assume you would probably stay in Arizona for a couple of days and then fly out this way.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, like, we'll see if they are, you know, because it's...
A 5-hour flight? Five?
To get here? Yeah. I mean, never know. Arizona. Sometimes teams...
No, from L.A.
to here. Yeah, it's six.
Sometimes teams kind of like, they use this and it's a motivating factor to go through a run. But sometimes it's like a one-week thing, and then it's just like the real life stuff comes back. Plus, it's a short week, as Kyle mentioned, for them. They got to get up to play a game on Sunday.
The like emotional adrenaline bump. Sometimes you get that when they'll fire the coach and the interim guy comes in and they're like, hey, we're going to play hard for this guy 1 week, and they do, and they surprise somebody. And then the next week it's like, yeah, that's what they really look like.
215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls here on Jalen. Are you giving him a mulligan for the way he played on Sunday? Mike in Norristown. Hey, Mike. Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy? Mike?
Before we get into it real quick, unfortunately. Yo, I'm here. You there?
Okay, we got you. We got you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Got you, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get into it, a friend of mine passed a beef and beer on Friday. He was in law enforcement. He was vice president of the Boys Club. His name is Arthur Shana. Unfortunately, he left behind a wife and two kids, and there's going to be a beef and beer for him this Friday on January 17th from 7 to 11 at the FOP Lodge 5 Heroes Ballroom. It's $40 a ticket. Great benefits. It's going to be a great time for a good cause. If anybody can come out, I greatly appreciate it.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm glad you could point it out, and our hearts go out to the family with the loss there. Very sad to hear that, Mike. Mike, what's on your mind today?
All right, thank you. Here's what's on my mind. You are my top three Eagle, my man. It goes Randall Cunningham, Reggie White, Hugh Douglas. Back in 2000, I was rocking the hard green Hugh Douglas jersey. You're my guy, man.
Appreciate
that's
you.
A pretty
you.
Big list to be on there, Hugh. That's some legends and Hugh Douglas on there. I like that, Mike. Or what are you thinking on this game here and the way Jalen played?
Now, people need to chill out. All right, people need to chill out. This was like a preseason game. They were not full throttle. Our defense was killing it. Hurts was off for a month. We're going to see what happens this Sunday. You know what's going to happen? 35-13 Birds over the Rams. That's
ooh, 35-13. So defense is going to bottom. So Jalen going to play well, or is this going to be Saquon running all over the place?
Phenomenal.
All right.
Phenomenal.
Like
two
that.
Touchdowns to AJ, one to Devontae.
All right, I'm writing
yards.
This down for our parlay on Friday. All right, so Mike's got a 35-13, no doubt about it. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. So the AJ thing just came up again there. I can't wait to see the injury report this week. And how is he practicing? I feel like it's the most under-talked about thing coming out of the game. AJ Brown had one catch for 10 yards, and I didn't even think he was open most of the time. Like, sometimes you see it, and you're like, Jalen should have threw it to him. Come on, come on, get the ball. When I watched AJ run on Sunday, it felt to me like a guy that was going 60% speed. Now, maybe that's all he had on Sunday, and maybe he'll be better this week. I have no idea. What I do know is this. On the pregame show on Sunday, Ruben Frank said to us he thinks AJ Brown could be headed for offseason knee surgery. That tells me this isn't a one-week tweak. He's dealing with something that they have to figure out how to work around here.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably, I don't want to speculate too much, but going in and cleaning something up because he's still playing, so I don't think it's that bad. Maybe I have to clean his knee up. Maybe it's, when you talk about how he ran, maybe it was more discomfort than anything. And, you know, if it's something like that, say for instance, if it's a torn meniscus and he has a little bit of a flap in there and it's moving around, that could hinder you from going full speed. And it's weird because I've had one of these where one day you feel great, and then if that piece of cartilage or whatever it is gets to moving around, that's when it kind of messes with your knee a little bit. So it just all depends, man. And he's probably in a position, a situation where they said it'd probably take a couple weeks, you know, clean it out and you'll be fine, but he doesn't want to take that time off. It's probably just a timing thing for him right now.
Yeah, and look, I thought at some point the Packers realized he wasn't as big of a threat as he normally is, and it made the whole passing concept just different. Like, they didn't have to throw as many resources to stopping him because they realized, hey, he's not running. Even the play that Hurts missed, the fake tush push, I mean, Hurts missed him, but I also didn't think AJ was running like he normally does. It was almost like, I wonder if part of that was Jalen wasn't sure how much air to put under it because he wasn't sure what kind of speed AJ even had because they didn't practice together and he knew he wasn't running well. Lawrence in Philadelphia. What's up, Lawrence?
Hello.
Lawrence. What's up, buddy?
Hello.
Oh, man, I'm good. How y'all doing, man? Thanks for taking my call, man. Hugh, I agree with you, man. But what I have to say is this, man. The road to the Super Bowl will be through Philadelphia. Since the Commanders is playing with house money, they're going to go in there and smoke them boys.
Smoke the Lions in Detroit?
Yeah, they're going to win by probably 1 point, something like that.
Okay. I doubt it, Lawrence, but I wouldn't be surprised if they compete. They're a good team, and Daniels is a good quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah, but the thing about Washington is they playing with that house money. They have nothing to lose. Detroit have everything to lose. And it's a dome, too, and that boy going to go in there and Daniels show his, you know, what he made of, man. You know, and I don't have a lot to say. I'm a long-time WIP caller, over 30 years in my 60s. And that's all I have to say. Oh, I have one more thing to say, man, about Chuck from Mount Airy, man.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to stop disrespecting Seth Joyner like that.
You think that he disrespected Seth?
Yes, I really do, man. You know, he has, you know, Chuck need to...
Wait a minute,
you know,
what I miss? I miss something?
Show some humility, man. Some humbleness, man. You know, that's an icon for Philadelphia, man. He played under Buddy Ryan, man.
There's no doubt in that. I mean, he did play under Buddy Ryan.
Did I miss something?
Well, I'll find it and play it for you.
We're going to play it here. Lawrence, good phone call, buddy. We appreciate it. This is now, and before we get to the Seth... versus Chuck from Mount Airy thing yesterday. Hugh, look, from the beginning of the season into the summer, I thought the Commanders were about to take a jump, so I'm not going to count them out. But this is our second call we've gotten 2 days that are predicting the Commanders are going into Detroit and winning, which would set up the Eagles to have a home title game. I would love for it to happen. That's a big challenge for them to go on the road after winning last week and beat a team that's coming off a bye. Like, I think they could compete, but I'm not counting on the Commanders to win this game. Maybe. I'm not counting on it, though.
You know what? I was looking at the betting odds. I think they're like, was it plus eight or negative? I forget. Was
eight
it
and
plus
a half,
eight? Plus eight
underdogs.
And a half underdogs?
Yeah, so Lions are expected to win by nine or more.
I kind of like the Commodores.
To win or to cover?
To win.
Ooh.
I mean, you know what? You know why I say that?
That means we're getting a home title game, Hugh Douglas.
You know why I say that? It's because the pressure has shifted, I think. Because when you look at who the Detroit Lions have played all year long, they have done a phenomenal job. Aaron Glenn has done a phenomenal job of piecemealing this defense together and them playing hard for them to be in the position at the end. He's an X factor, though. Jaden Daniels, they haven't seen anybody like that this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Hurts is probably the closest thing.
But Kurtz ain't even that close.
Oh, they did play Lamar.
Okay.
The Commanders. No, you're talking about the Lions.
The Lions, yes. I'm looking at
well,
the
they
schedule.
They played Josh Allen.
Oh, they played Josh Allen. Okay.
Wait a minute. But that
Josh Allen lit him up like a Christmas tree, too.
Yeah, but Josh ain't this young man. And what I say about that is, like,
in terms of running?
Yeah. He could put stress on the defense. Yeah, I'm looking at this schedule, man.
I don't think they have seen a mobile guy.
They haven't seen this type of quarterback.
Well, there's not many. I mean, Lamar's probably him.
Yeah.
Hugh, if you're right on this, how about this? You've taken the mantle now as the Commanders guy on the show. I had it. Now it's you. You're picking
them
to win in Detroit.
Crazier things have happened. And for all that sitting down, like, the Commodores are feeling real good about themselves.
They are
right
playing
now
with house money.
You see Magic Johnson out there talking about how you build a franchise and all the other good stuff. And he's with your boy that owns the Sixers.
Not my boy.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Josh making money hand over fist. Like, I think they have a chance. They got a chance, man. They're going to make it very, very interesting going into that hostile environment and playing the Detroit Lions.
Well, if they do it, if they could pull off, and it'd be a big upset. I mean, 8.5 points is a big number. If they pull that off, we could be set up for a home title game, which would be incredible. 215-592-9494. Or can we hear the Chuck in Mount Airy against Seth think?
I'm still ripping it. We might have to toss it to the other side. Yeah.
We'll have it coming up
I
here.
I got you, though.
Hugh. Okay. So, we got to play this for Hugh. Yesterday, it was quite a bout. Chuck in Mount Airy against Seth Joyner.
It's really round two.
It is.
That's not the first time that...
Yeah, it's becoming one of my favorite rivalries around here. Let's grab Terrence, and on the other side, we'll have the Chuck and Seth call from yesterday. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Man, I'm not the biggest Jalen guy. Like, I like Jalen Hurts. I feel like I'm still waiting for him to reach his 2022 potential. But if I had Tatum or Key one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, I don't know what Shady – I like Shady. He's a great player. But what you smoking, man? This is playoff. It's not the regular season. You're not playing the Giants. I want to hear about Terry McKee no more. And I know today this is going to be the topic of the conversation about Jalen Hurts. But when is A.J. Brown going to get a mulligan? When is Kellen Moore going to get a mulligan? Because I watched the tape. I watched Dan Orlovsky, and I went back and watched the game. There was about six plays that Dan Orlovsky played where from the start of the play to the end of the play, our receivers were a blanket. I'm talking about the slot receivers. I'm talking about the two guys on the outside, the tight end. They were blanket from the beginning to the end of the play. So I know earlier you said somebody might have been open in the beginning. There wasn't. And I know a lot of times when we're watching the game, you can't see these things. And I know everybody's all on Hurts. I know Chuck on everybody want to fixate the character and be on Jalen Hurts. But I was a big Jalen Hurts fan. But yesterday, I mean, Sunday night, they could have gave Jalen Hurts a better – you know, they could have helped him out more. And I heard this. This is not the first time I heard this about our route concepts. Because they're saying that Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson have better route concepts than A.J. Brown. They're saying A.J. Brown has vanilla route concepts that teams are starting to figure out our route concepts. And that's up to Kellen Moore. It's up to A.J. Brown to figure this out, too, to help Jalen Hurts out. Now, earlier in the year, Joe, you're right. Jalen Hurts was having these average games, but come back from a concussion, I feel like they could have helped this guy out more. He did what he could do in the game to win the game. He didn't turn the ball over. He did what he was able to do. AJ Brown sounds like an old man, and I know you said Joe that Jalen Hurts is the X factor. I feel like AJ Brown comes down that stretch. He's going to be a big X factor on his knee, on how he can perform, and how these guys can run better routes, because that 1990s as offense that Kellen Moore is running right now, with no kind of flow, no kind of scheme to get nobody open, is not going to cut it. And we're going to get our ass bounced by the Rams if we don't get our route concept better.
Well, yeah, they were too predictable. I mean, it's not like
that. Jalen does have to play better. Sorry, though, but Jalen does have to play better than what he did. I want to see him play better next week coming off a concussion, but I feel like that was kind of a knock the rest off game for Jalen Hurts. But he does. The offense has to get together in the room, because that was half-assed performance on offense. You're not going to beat the Rams doing that. You're not going to beat the Lions. Washington.
Yeah, they have to be better. I mean, they do. Terrence, we appreciate it. All right, coming up, 215-592-949 for all your phone calls on this. Nick's here on his conversation with The Morning Show, and we'll get you that audio of Chuck Versetti yesterday, one of the great new rivalries at WIP. All coming up next, Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Yeah, this song's perfect for this. Welcome back. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. All right, we'll get to the Nick Sirianni replay with Joe and John this morning coming up in a little bit. But Hugh, you asked for it, so let's get to it. So we have a new rivalry here at WIP, and it's Chuck from Mount Airy against Seth Joyner when Seth was on the morning show. We'll have Seth on our show tomorrow. Might have to ask him about this. But let's say a little flavor of this. What would it sound like? Chuck against Seth yesterday on the morning show. All right, so that was the start of it, Hugh. I don't know if my favorite part is Chuck or when
it's easily shut your mouth, Joe.
Tells Joe to butt out of the conversation.
Yeah, that was pretty hardcore.
All right, so there's the start. We got a little more here. Let's add a little more to this, and then we'll get Hugh's full reaction to Seth versus Chuck. Well, maybe we'll have to grade this this bout here. Let's hear the rest.
I left Philadelphia because you know what? Norman Braman and everybody else associated with it brought that about, okay? You got a choice. You can spend your money wherever the hell you want to spend it, okay? So the one thing you don't do, you got the ability to call in the WIP and talk to everybody. And I listen to it all, Chuck. But what you ain't going to do, you ain't going to come on here and tell me what I should say and how I should think and how I should analyze the game that I've given my life, my soul, my blood, everything too. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. Because I sit back and I look at this city. And you know what? Sometimes you are, the city is a little ungrateful.
Hugh, how would you score that bout? I think that's a draw. Chuck landed some haymakers, especially with like, hey, we you know, I live and die here. You can move on. You could go different places. But Seth also brings a great point. He's entitled to his opinion, and he's going to say what he wants to say.
Yeah, I think both of them hit on that mutual respect thing. I think they hit the nail on the head. That's all you can ask for, Joe, because we don't always agree on the way that we see things. And the fans definitely don't agree with me on the way that I see things sometimes. That's okay, because we have different perspectives about this. And most times, and this is no disrespect, but most times the fans' perspective is coming from a perspective of passion and history. And what I mean by that is, you know, I admire the ticket holders that have had tickets in their families for eons. For they go back to the way back in the day, you know, ticket licenses and all the other good stuff. And they feel the way that they feel. But at the same time, Seth is right. He has a unique perspective that is also should be respected. So that's the biggest thing that I took from that, is that everybody has to respect everybody else's opinion about this, even if you don't agree with it. Because there's a lot of times that I hear an opinion and I don't agree with it, but I don't say anything because that's how that person feels. And there's nothing that I could say that's going to change their mind. And that's kind of how Chuck is. Chuck is passionate about his football team. Chuck is passionate about his baseball. And he feels a certain way about certain things when it happens. I don't feel the same way that Chuck does, but Chuck's entitled to rant and rave and feel the way that he wants to feel.
Oh, and he will.
And yeah, when he wants to. So I let him have that. Like when Chuck calls in here and he says what he said today, I let him speak because that's his perspective. I don't agree with that, but that's his perspective, and he's entitled to have that.
I'll throw one more great part. It was Seltzer jumping in the fray. There was a famous ref back in the day when Tyson would box. I think his name was Mills Lane.
Mills Lane.
Seltzer was Mills Lane there, like trying to get between the heavyweights. Like, hold on, let him make his point. That was good stuff there. One of my new favorite.
The camera bit off more than he could chew.
He did, and he was told to get out.
Like,
they
up,
need to stay out of grown folks' business when they're talking like that. Though, I mean, that's just hell. Everybody know that.
Speaking of DeCameron, Richie, let's listen to them this morning. Plenty of their business. It was their interview with Nick Sirianni. Let's hear that. Sirianni this morning with Joe and John.
We welcome the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Nick, congratulations on the win the other day, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Nick, before we look back, let's look ahead for – actually, let's look back by talking Rams last night. Unique situation. You have a chance on a nighttime game Monday night to find out who you're going to play. Do you watch the Rams and Vikings for all 3 hours? I know you're in prep mode. You got family thing. Like, do you watch that game for all 3 hours?
Yeah, of course. You know, you're continuing to get ready for both teams. You're continuing to, you know, pretty much the game that you had on Sunday is cleaned up. But you got to prep for two teams, and so you're watching that and seeing how it's going, and as the game shifts, which it did in that game a little bit, then you kind of move your focus on to the Rams somewhere around. I won't say when we started going Rams, but you know, there was definitely a distinct time where we were like, okay, let's start getting ready for the Rams only.
That's fascinating. And are you communicating? You're texting that to your coaches. You know, I get you won't say what quarter, but yeah,
maximize your time.
I get it. Yeah.
We're still in here. We're still in there here together at that point, and still grinding it out.
So, how much have the Rams improved since November 24th?
You know, I think going into our game against the Rams, they had been pretty hot. They had won like 4 out of 5 to start. Before we went in there and played them, our game happened, and then they got hot again. This is a good football team with really good players, really good quarterback, and I can't tell you how much respect I have for Sean McVay. And the coach that he is, and you can just tell it's all over his tape of how good of a coach he is.
Nick Sirianni here with us. Nick, what'd you make your squad's performance the other day? It was different in that you had the early lead and essentially had the ball to start both halves, if you will. What'd you make of how your team played? And again, congrats on that victory.
Yeah, winning a playoff game is a big deal, and that's our goal, is to win another one this week. And it's hard to do as I think one thing you take from it is like, there's going to be mistakes in playoff football. And what I mean by that is there are going to be mistakes that the other team forces. Like, hey, why'd we miss this tackle? Well, Josh Jacobs made a really good move right there. That's how we missed it. Or, you know, whatever it is. And so you got to be able to play the next play because there's going to be things that happen that are good. And that's football in general, but even more so in the playoffs. There's going to be things that are happening that are good. There's going to be things that happen that are bad. And can you put yourself in a mindset to play the next play? And I think our guys did just that. You know, it wasn't clean. We had to clean things up yesterday, and that's what yesterday was about. But every time it wasn't clean, we followed it up by a good play or a good drive that helped us, you know, keep the lead, get the lead, grow the lead even further. And I think that was evident all over the tape. And you know, we're on to the next one now. But it's good to get a playoff win.
Nick, do you think rust affected Jalen's performance? Were the couple weeks off a factor?
I thought as an offense as a whole, there was things we needed to clean up as we did. But I do think that when they go down 10, we're up 10-0 for a majority of the first half and into the third quarter. Then it becomes 10-3. And then our offense goes right down and scores. So it makes it 16-3. Then they score a touchdown at 16-10. Our offense gets the ball and we get a field goal. And we drive down and score, get a field goal. So, I thought that you know, you can look at a lot of the, like I said, this playoff football, there's going to be some things that happen that are good. There's going to be some things that happen are bad. But I think those in those moments, like in the moments of like, hey, we needed it, everything was on the line. You know, we had to go back up two scores. You know, Jalen led our team down and, you know, led our team down the field and scored, you know, made a great check for a touchdown to Dallas. Just did a lot of good things to help us win that football game. Do we want plays back as an offense? Yeah. Do we want? Is he going to want plays back? Of course. That's the way football goes. But in times of hey, we need it now. Jalen Hurts made some big time plays, some big time checks, some big time throws, and that's what he's continued to do. Like, you know, I think you know when you win 15 games as we have this year, like Jalen's played really efficient football. You can't win 15 games. Unless your quarterback's playing efficient, playing really good football, taking care of the football. You know, he protected the ball in that game that we played the other night. And, you know, the other team didn't as much, right? And we won that turnover battle, which has made it a big, big deal in that game.
Nick, how much did receivers struggle to get open more than usual against the Packers?
Our receivers are able to get open again when it's one-on-one coverage and it's true, you know, like that. Our receivers know how to get open, find ways to get open, and I think the same can be true for when our receivers field at zone. You know, they have a good feel like of where to sit in the zones, where to sit. But there's rules to where you got to sit in zones as well. I thought we were efficient in the pass game. I thought that there was things we're going to all want back, but I never worry about, you know that sign in AJ's locker, always open. He's always open. So I never worry about those guys getting open. I never worry about that because we got some of the best receivers in the NFL, and it was great to have Dallas back. Listen, at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do to win the football game, and that's the only thing that matters. How do you win the football game? And we found a way to do that.
Nick Sirianni with us right now. You know, Nick, the loss of Nakobe, to me, there's two different elements, at least as I say it. One, obviously, not having him for the next 3 weeks. But the other is just Nakobe, the guy, and the impact on his life. I mean, he was and still is eligible for a contract in a couple months and very well may have gotten a nice payday. I'm just curious, you know, you talk so much about connectivity. You know, how do you approach a guy like Nakobe when it's a serious injury like that, knowing that he's going through an awful lot right now?
Yeah, injuries being part of this game, that stinks. You know, as I was a sophomore in college, I had a major injury that really, you know, really affected me, and it was really hard for me to be out and not playing and, you know, with my teammates there in college. And I've always used that as a, like, hey, because of how bad it hurt me, the injury just not being out there, I've always used that to kind of connect with my guys here and let them know, at least, you know, from a different level, I know what they're going through. Maybe not a professional football level, but a college football level. And, you know, it just gives you an opportunity to be there for the guys in those moments and, you know, to share your story. Because when you can share your story and show, hey, there's light at the end of this tunnel, and you know I really attribute my injury to everything that I've kind of encountered in my career, and the good you can see the good in it now. You're able to share that with the guys, and so I always take that very seriously. I'm gonna miss Nakobe out there, and you know, because he is a phenomenal player, he's a phenomenal person, he's a phenomenal teammate. And nobody works like him to get himself ready for a game. I'm just so impressed by what he does to do that. And so that's where you find a way to connect with the guys through old experiences. And hopefully you give them a little bit of hope that, you know, you're going through a hard time now, but there's going to be a positive to this. But we sure as heck will miss him. I know he'll miss being out there. This guy loves football, so I felt it yesterday in team meeting how much he's going to miss it. So now our job is just wrap our arms around him, be there for him, and know that we need him. And the reason we're in this spot is because of him, and we need him, and he's going to lead. I have no doubt he'll watch the tape that he needs to watch with the guys this week to help them get prepared, because that's the type of teammate he is. That's the type of person he is. I can't say enough good things about N'Kobe Dean.
How much has the, defensively speaking, making up for N'Kobe's loss? The pass rush was so amazing and consistent and powerful in this last game. And it feels like for the last stretch of the season, the improvement in the pass rush was just massive. How much has that improvement surprised you, Nick?
Yeah, not surprised, because I think we got the right guys up front. Howie and his staff have done a great job of getting guys in here. You know, what a contribution we've had from some young guys and to help out. We got some really talented guys. I think Milton Williams has done a nice job as he gets one-on-one situations. You know, and we've just gotten contributions and from each guy. I think our team has embraced the group rush. You know, what I mean by that is it's not just, you know, they got five and sometimes six and sometimes seven to block your four or whatever many you're blitzing on the play. And so I guess sometimes that feels like it's not a fair fight. So you got to win as a group, right? You got to win as a group rush, and our guys have embraced that. You can see how our guys celebrate together after that, because they know it takes all of the guys up front and the guys in the back end that are doing the coverage on that. And so, you know, I heard Nolan Smith say something like, yeah, I'm going to give my playoff check to Milton Williams. And, you know, because he knows that helped him out getting home and getting the sacks last game. So
wow.
It's just the embodiment of our team that I truly believe. And I think you guys can see it too, that they're truly happy for each other. They truly are celebrating together. You know, they are selfless players, and I love that about this team, because, again, at the end of the day, in this sport, it's not the best groups of individuals that win. It's the best teams.
Yeah, Nick, we've been so impressed with, you know, your guys up front. Obviously, your whole squad, but your guys up front, it's remarkable what they've done. Nick, let's talk about the A.J. reading the book thing, and it's important to say it's a self-help book. It's not just some random book. So it's a self-help book. It's a strange visual, obviously. Are you okay with him reading a self-help book on the sideline, or would you rather he not?
No, I'm definitely okay with it. Everybody has their, you know, the crazy thing is it's been happening for, you know, he's been reading this book on the sideline for a long time. It's not, it just so happened that a camera saw it this week and kind of, you know, I don't know if made a big deal about it or not, but everybody has their own way. We talk so much about dog mentality, playing the next play, focusing your mind on what you're about to do so you can play with great effort and great detail. And some guys pray, you know, in between. Some guys meditate in between. Some guys, you know, AJ reads in between. You know, whatever these guys need to do to put their mind in a place where they can play with great detail and great effort, I fully encourage them to do that. And AJ is... I love AJ. He's such a good teammate, you know, and I find it, you know, it, a little bit like I saw Jahan Dotson said something like defending AJ, and I thought that was awesome too. Just another opportunity, another example of our teammates defending each other, that, you know, we don't do any research to figure out why, how long he's been doing it, why he's doing it, what he's reading. I mean, he's not reading a romance novel on the sideline. Like, you know, whatever he's, you know, we don't do any research, and we jump to a conclusion of, oh, he must be disgruntled. That to me is lazy, and everyone needs to figure out why he's doing it before they jump to judgment on the man, because the man, AJ Brown, is a great, 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 great person. The man, AJ Brown, is the best receiver and I'll say it without hesitation, is the best receiver that this city's ever seen. The man, AJ Brown, is one of the best teammates that in the world to his guys. Not just the best receiver, the one of the best teammates. This guy is top notch. There's a reason he's done all the things he can do, and I love AJ Brown. And it's hard for me to watch when somebody when people are getting on him without doing the proper research of who the man is and what he's doing in the first place.
Well, I admire Nick, his ability certainly, or desire to lock in mentally, and I think that's fantastic. I really do. All right, Nick, final thing here. Jake Elliott, we've wondered this for a few weeks. Is he injured? Is there something physical that's impacting his effectiveness as a kicker?
I think what you saw after the missed extra point is two unbelievable plays that, you know, I talked about the offense leading us down to score, but two unbelievable plays to go up 16 to 19 and then 19 to 22. So I think that showed that, you know, he's healthy. You know, just a misfortunate hit on the extra point. And, you know, but he embodies the dog mentality too. Like, okay, it hasn't went well. It didn't go well in that kick where he missed the extra point, but he figured out a way to make the next one and completely be in the moment and play. Maybe he read AJ's book on the sideline with him because he played with great detail and great effort after that and really helped us, you know, seal that game and win that game. You know, all that's important is this next game, and I have no doubt in my mind that Jake is going to be ready for this next game and make kicks that's going to help us, you know, on our way to the for this next game.
All right, well, Nick, speaking of that next game, absolute best of luck to you. The Eagles and the Rams, obviously, Sunday at 3 o'clock. We're going to give away tickets to that game coming up on Friday. We look forward to that. Nick, good luck on Sunday and the rest of the way, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Nick.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, there was Nick Sirianni this morning with Joe and John Hugh. A couple things that stood out to me. One, he was very passionate in his defense of AJ. Although yeah. I don't think most people are frustrated with AJ. I just think it was interesting, right? Like something we never saw before.
Yeah, and I saw a few people what he was talking about that didn't do their due diligence and immediately said something to the effect that he was disgruntled about the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the easy thing to do. And that's why, I number one, I wanted to see what the book was. And then I wanted to see, you know, interpret how he was interpreting it. And I think that's what it was, man. AJ, he didn't have his best game. He's a little banged up. So I kind of looked at it as like he was centering himself, which is not a bad thing. Sometimes, every now and then, man, in order to not act a fool, you have to just sit back and just relax and just center yourself. I didn't have a problem with that.
Well, it's better than the alternative, which
is acting a fool.
Exactly, on the sidelines. The other thing that caught my attention there is Joe asked Nick specifically, is Jake Elliott dealing with anything physical that is causing some of the issues with kicks? And he just kind of
glommed over that a little bit.
He didn't answer it directly. He said, well, he basically said he showed dog mentality and he bounced back from the miss, which is wonderful, but that wasn't the question. And that makes me wonder if Jake is dealing with something, and it's part of why he's been up and down this year. That caught my attention.
Sirianni should start a bit where he just answers every question with, like, dog mentality.
Everything. What's today? Tuesday or Wednesday? Dog mentality, Joe.
You know, you got to have a dog mentality. Don't think about the day before.
No matter what day it is, you act like you have your dog mentality. All right, 215-592-9494. We will get back to all your phone calls here. Are you giving Jalen Hurts a mulligan for his performance on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers? Your first thought on the Rams game? We'll get to another back and forth on the morning show. This time, Joe DeCamera against Seth Jordan. Plus, Vic Fangio with a really interesting answer on how to replace the Kobe Dean's production. You're not going to want to miss this right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh, how would you score that bout? I think that's a draw. Chuck landed some haymakers, especially with like, hey, we you know, I live and die here. You can move on, you could go different places, but Seth also brings a great point. He's entitled to his opinion, and he's going to say what he wants to say.
Yeah, I think both of them hit on that mutual respect thing. I think they hit the nail on the head. That's all you can ask for, Joe, because we don't always agree on the way that we see things. And the fans definitely don't agree with me on the way that I see things sometimes. That's okay, because we have different perspectives about this. And most times, and this is no disrespect, but most times the fans' perspective is coming from a perspective of passion and history. And what I mean by that is, you know, I admire the ticket holders that have had tickets in their families for eons. They go back to the way back in the day, you know, ticket licenses and all the other good stuff. And they feel the way that they feel. But at the same time, Seth is right. He has a unique perspective that is also should be respected. So that's the biggest thing that I took from that, is that everybody has to respect everybody else's opinion about this, even if you don't agree with it. Because there's a lot of times that I hear an opinion and I don't agree with it, but I don't say anything because that's how that person feels. And there's nothing that I could say that's going to change their mind. And that's kind of how Chuck is. Chuck is passionate about his football team. Chuck is passionate about his baseball. And he feels a certain way about certain things when it happens. I don't feel the same way that Chuck does, but Chuck's entitled to rant and rave and feel the way that he wants to feel.
Oh, and he will.
And yeah, when he wants to. So I let him have that. Like when Chuck calls in here and he says what he said today, I let him speak because that's his perspective. I don't agree with that, but that's his perspective, and he's entitled to have that.
I'll throw one more great part. It was Seltzer jumping in the fray. There was a famous ref back in the day when Tyson would box. I think his name was Mills Lane.
Mills Lane.
Seltzer was Mills Lane there, like trying to get between the heavyweights. Like, hold on, let him make his point. That was good stuff there. One of my new favorite.
Camera bit off more than he could chew.
He was told to get out.
It's like,
they need to stay out of grown folks' business when they're talking like that. Though, I mean, that's just hell. Everybody know that.
Speaking of Decameron, Richie, let's listen to them this morning. Plenty of their business. It was their interview with Nick Sirianni. Let's hear that. Sirianni this morning with Joe and John.
We welcome the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Nick, congratulations on the win the other day, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Nick, before we look back, let's look ahead let's look back by talking Rams last night. Unique situation. You have a chance on a nighttime game Monday night to find out who you're going to play. Do you watch the Rams and Vikings for all 3 hours? I know you're in prep mode. You got family thing. Like, do you watch that game for all 3 hours?
Yeah, of course. You know, you're continuing to get ready for both teams. You're continuing to, you know, pretty much the game that you had on Sunday is cleaned up. But you got to prep for two teams, and so you're watching that and seeing how it's going. And as the game shifts, which it did in that game a little bit, then you kind of move your focus on to the Rams somewhere around. I won't say when we started going Rams, but you know, there was definitely a distinct time where we were like, okay, let's start getting ready for the Rams only.
That's fascinating. And are you communicating? You're texting that to your coaches. You know, I get you won't say what quarter, but yeah,
maximize your time.
I get it. Yeah,
we're still in here. We're still hitting there here together at that point, and still grinding it out.
So, how much have the Rams improved since November 24th?
You know, I think going into our game against the Rams, they had been pretty hot. They had won like 4 out of 5 to start. Before we went in there and played them, our game happened, and then they got hot again. This is a good football team with really good players, really good quarterback, and I can't tell you how much respect I have for Sean McVay. And the coach that he is, and you can just tell it's all over his tape of how good of a coach he is.
Nick Sirianni here with us. Nick, what'd you make your squad's performance the other day? It was different in that you had the early lead and essentially had the ball to start both halves, if you will. What'd you make of how your team played? And again, congrats on that victory.
Yeah, winning a playoff game is a big deal, and you know, that's our goal, is to win another one this week. And you know, it's hard to do, as you know. I think one thing you take from it is, like, there's going to be mistakes in playoff football. And what I mean by that is there are going to be mistakes that the other team forces. Like, hey, why did we miss this tackle? Well, Josh Jacobs made a really good move right there. That's how we missed it. Or, you know, whatever it is. And so you got to be able to play the next play because there's going to be things that happen that are good. And that's football in general, but even more so in the playoffs. There's going to be things that are happening that are good. There's going to be things that happen that are bad. And then can you put yourself in a mindset to play the next play? And I think our guys did just that. You know, it wasn't clean. We had to clean things up yesterday. And that's what yesterday was about. But every time it wasn't clean, we followed it up by a good play or a good drive that helped us, you know, keep the lead, get the lead, grow the lead even further. And, you know, and I think that was evident all over the tape. And, you know, we're on to the next one now. But it's good to get a playoff win.
Nick, do you think rust affected Jalen's performance? Were the couple weeks off a factor?
You know, I thought as an offense as a whole, there was things we needed to clean up as we did. But I do think that, you know, when they go down 10, we're up 10-0 for a majority of the first half and into the third quarter, then it becomes 10-3. And then our offense goes right down and scores. So it makes it 16-3. Then they score a touchdown at 16-10. Our offense gets the ball and we get a field goal. And we drive down and score, get a field goal. So I thought that, you know, you can look at a lot of the, like I said, this playoff football, there's going to be some things that happen that are good. There's going to be some things that happen that are bad. But I think in those moments, hey, we needed it. Everything was on the line. You know, we had to go back up 2 scores. You know, Jalen led our team down the field and scored. You know, made a great check for a touchdown to Dallas. Just did a lot of good things to help us win that football game. Do we want plays back as an offense? Yeah. Is he going to want plays back? Of course. That's the way football goes. But in times of, hey, we need it now, Jalen Hurts made some big-time plays, some big-time checks, some big-time throws, and that's what he's continued to do. Like, you know, I think, you know, when you win 15 games as we have this year, like, Jalen's played really efficient football. You can't win 15 games unless your quarterback's playing efficient, playing really good football, taking care of the football. You know, he protected the ball in that game that we played the other night, and you know, the other team didn't as much, right? And we won that turnover battle, which has made it a big, big deal in that game.
Nick, how much did receivers struggle to get open more than usual against the Packers?
Our receivers are able to get open again when it's one-on-one coverage and it's true, you know, like that. Our receivers know how to get open, find ways to get open, and I think the same can be true for when our receivers feel that zone. You know, they have a good feel like of where to sit in the zones, where to sit, but there's rules to where you got to sit in zones as well. I thought we were efficient in the pass game. I thought that there was things we're going to all want back. But I never worry about, you know, that sign in AJ's locker, always open. He's always open. So I never worry about those guys getting open. I never worry about that. Because we got some of the best receivers in the NFL, and it was great to have Dallas back. Listen, at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do to win the football game, and that's the only thing that matters. How do you win the football game? And we found a way to do that.
Nick Sirianni with us right now. You know, Nick, the loss of Nakobe, to me, there's two different elements, at least as I say it. One, obviously, not having him for the next 3 weeks. But the other is just Nakobe, the guy, and the impact on his life. I mean, he was and still is eligible for a contract in a couple months, and very well may have gotten a nice payday. I'm just curious, you know, you talk so much about connectivity. You know, how do you approach a guy like Nakobe when it's a serious injury like that, knowing that he's going through an awful lot right now?
Yeah, injuries being part of this game, that stinks. You know, what I try to do is, you know, as I was a sophomore in college, I had a major injury that really, you know, really affected me. And it was really hard for me to be out and not playing and, you know, with my teammates there in college. And I've always used that as a, like, hey, because of how bad it hurt me, the injury just not being out there, I've always used that to kind of connect with my guys here and let them know at least, you know, from a different level. I know what they're going through. Maybe not a professional football level, but a college football level. And, you know, it just gives you an opportunity to be there for the guys in those moments and, you know, to share your story. Because, when you can share your story and show, hey, there's light at the end of this tunnel. And, you know, I really attribute my injury to everything that I've kind of encountered in my career. And you can see the good in it now. You're able to share that with the guys. And so I always take that very seriously. I'm going to miss N'Kobe out there. And, you know, because he is a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal person. He's a phenomenal teammate. And nobody works like him to get himself ready for a game. I'm just so impressed by what he does to do that. And so that's where you find a way to connect with the guys through old experiences. And hopefully you give them a little bit of hope that, you know, it's you're going through a hard time now, but there's going to be a positive to this. And, but we sure as heck will miss him. I know he'll miss being out there. This guy loves football. So I felt it yesterday in team meeting how much he's going to miss it. So now our job is just wrap our arms around him, be there for him, and know that we need him. And the reason we're in this spot is because of him. And we need him, and he's going to lead. I have no doubt he'll watch the tape that he needs to watch with the guys this week to help them get prepared, because that's the type of teammate he is. That's the type of person he is. I can't say enough good things about N'Kobe Dean.
How much has the, defensively speaking, making up for N'Kobe's loss? The pass rush was so amazing and consistent and powerful in this last game. And it feels like for the last stretch of the season, the improvement in the pass rush was just massive. How much has that improvement surprised you, Nick?
Yeah, not surprised, because I think we got the right guys up front. Howie and his staff have done a great job of getting guys in here. What a contribution we've had from some young guys and to help out. We got some really talented guys. I think Milton Williams has done a nice job as he gets one-on-one situations. And we've just gotten contributions and from each guy. I think our team has embraced the group rush. What I mean by that is it's not just, you know, they got five and sometimes six and sometimes seven to block your four or whatever many you're blitzing on the play. And so I guess sometimes that feels like it's not a fair fight. So you got to win as a group, right? You got to win as a group rush, and our guys have embraced that. You can see how our guys celebrate together after that, because they know it takes all of the guys up front and the guys in the back end that are doing the coverage on that. And so, you know, I heard Nolan Smith say something like, yeah, I'm going to give my playoff check to Milton Williams. And, because he knows that helped him out getting home and getting the sacks last game. So
wow.
It's just the embodiment of our team that I truly believe. And I think you guys can see it too, that they're truly happy for each other. They truly are celebrating together. They are selfless players, and I love that about this team, because again, at the end of the day in this sport, it's not the best groups of individuals that win, it's the best teams.
Yeah, Nick, we've been so impressed with, you know, your guys up front, obviously your whole squad, but your guys up front, it's remarkable what they've done. Nick, let's talk about the AJ reading the book thing, and it's important to say it's a self-help book. It's not just some random book. So it's a self-help book. It's a strange visual, obviously. Are you okay with him reading a self-help book on the sideline, or would you rather he not?
No, I'm definitely okay with it. Everybody has their, you know, the crazy thing is it's been happening for, you know, he's been reading this book on the sideline for a long time. It just so happened that a camera saw it this week and kind of, you know, I don't know if made a big deal about it or not, but everybody has their own way. We talk so much about dog mentality, playing the next play, focusing your mind on what you're about to do so you can play with great effort and great detail. And some guys pray, you know, in between. Some guys meditate in between. Some guys, you know, AJ reads in between. Whatever these guys need to do to put their mind in a place where they can play with great detail and great effort, I fully encourage them to do that. And AJ is, I love AJ. He's such a good teammate, you know, and I find it, a little bit like I saw Jahan Dotson said something like defending AJ, and I thought that was awesome too. Just another opportunity, another example of our teammates defending each other. That, you know, we don't do any research to figure out why, how long he's been doing it, why he's doing it, what he's reading. I mean, he's not reading a, you know, a romance novel on the sideline, like, you know, whatever he's, you know, yeah. We don't but do any research that... and we jump to a conclusion of, oh, he must be disgruntled. That to me is lazy, and everyone needs to figure out why he's doing it before they jump to judgment on the man, because the man, A.J. Brown, is a great, 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 great person. The man, A.J. Brown, is the best receiver that, and I'll say it without hesitation, is the best receiver that this city's ever seen. The man, A.J. Brown, is one of the best teammates that in the world to his guys. Not just the best receiver, but one of the best teammates. This guy is top-notch. There's a reason he's done all the things he can do, and I love A.J. Brown. And it's hard for me to watch when people are getting on him without doing the proper research of who the man is and what he's doing in the first place.
Well, I admire Nick, his ability certainly, or desire to lock in mentally, and I think that's fantastic. I really do. All right, Nick, final thing here. Jake Elliott, we've wondered this for a few weeks. Is he injured? Is there something physical that's impacting his effectiveness as a kicker?
I think what you saw after the missed extra point is two unbelievable plays that, you know, I talked about the offense leading us down to score, but two unbelievable plays to go up 16 to 19 and then 19 to 22. So I think that showed that, you know, he's healthy. You know, just a misfortunate hit on the extra point. And, you know, but he embodies the dog mentality too. Like, okay, it hasn't went well. It didn't go well in that kick where he missed the extra point, but he figured out a way to make the next one and completely be in the moment and play. Maybe he read AJ's book on the sideline with him because he played with great detail and great effort after that and really helped us, you know, seal that game and win that game. You know, all that's important is this next game, and I have no doubt in my mind that Jake is going to be ready for this next game and make kicks that's going to help us, you know, on our way for this next game.
All right, well, Nick, speaking of that next game, absolute best of luck to you. The Eagles and the Rams, obviously, Sunday at 3 o'clock. We're going to give away tickets to that game coming up on Friday. We look forward to that. Nick, good luck on Sunday and the rest of the way, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Nick.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, there was Nick Sirianni this morning with Joe and John Hugh. A couple things that stood out to me. One, he was very passionate in his defense of AJ. Although I don't think most people are frustrated with AJ. I just think it was interesting, right? Like something we never saw before.
And I saw a few people what he was talking about that didn't do their due diligence and immediately said something to the effect that he was disgruntled about the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the easy thing to do. And that's why I number one, I wanted to see what the book was. And then I wanted to see, you know, interpret how he was interpreting it. And I think that's what it was, man. AJ, he didn't have his best game. He's a little banged up. So I kind of looked at it as like he was centering himself, which is not a bad thing. Sometimes, every now and then, man, in order to not act a fool, you have to just sit back and just relax and just center yourself. I didn't have a problem with that.
Well, it's better than the alternative, which
is acting a fool.
Exactly, on the sidelines. The other thing that caught my attention there is Joe asked Nick specifically, is Jake Elliott dealing with anything physical that is causing some of the issues with kicks? And he just kind of
glommed over that a little bit.
He didn't answer it directly. He said, well, he basically said he showed dog mentality and he bounced back from the miss, which is wonderful, but that wasn't the question. And that makes me wonder if Jake is dealing with something, and it's part of why he's been up and down this year. That caught my attention.
Sirianni should start a bit where he just answers every question with, like, dog mentality.
Everything. What's today? Tuesday or Wednesday? Dog mentality, Joe.
Just, you know, you got to have a dog mentality. Don't think about the day before.
No matter what day it is, you act like you have your dog mentality. All right, 215-592-9494. We will get back to all your phone calls here. Are you giving Jalen Hurts a mulligan for his performance on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers? Your first thought on the Rams game? We'll get to another back and forth on the morning show. This time, Joe DeCamara against Seth Jordan. Plus, Vic Fangio with a really interesting answer on how to replace the Kobe Dean's production. You're not going to want to miss this. Right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.